having micro contamination in the food supply is really not a surprise for these kinds of chemicals that are very persistent in the environment, and they tend to bioaccumulate, and then they tend to biomagnify up the food chain, which means that animals which are towards the top of the food chain are going to have high concentrations in their fat because that's where these chemicals like to live.
So looking at your study, it looks like about 40% of the foods that you sampled in your latest study had detectable levels of fire retardant chemicals in them. How would these get into the food system?
They get into the food chain by either when they're made or when they're used, they get into the water supply or they get released into the air. And then from that, they just move up the food chain. So the tiny little critters in the sea eat them, and then bigger critters eat the little critters, and eventually they end up in animal products.
And what about peanut butter? I mean, how would a chemical get from my couch to the peanut butter and jelly sandwich that I send my kid to school with?
We really don't know. One possibility is that the HBCD had kind of just was present in dust in the factory and got into the peanut butter. That's one possibility. Another possibility is there's some evidence that it could be taken up by the roots of the plants. But I personally think that the greatest likelihood it had something to do with the packaging. In a study that we reported again in 2010, where we found high levels of PBDE in butter, when we looked further, it turns out that the paper wrapping of that butter was the source of the contamination. Now, how the paper got contaminated, we really don't know. But I think it's likely that the contamination in the peanut butter may have come inadvertently from packaging, but that's just a guess. We really don't have the information.
So what are the potential health effects of being exposed, well, in eating these flame retardants?
Well, I think it's important to stress that the levels that we found are very, very low at this point, and that, in fact, the levels are almost 1,000 times lower than what has been considered to be a virtually safe dose for these chemicals. But the health concerns that we do have for exposure to HBCD include potential effects on the immune and the reproductive systems, some effects on the developing nervous system, and endocrine disruption, especially effects on thyroid hormone systems.
Of course, we're talking about human health here, but what do you think the effects of these chemicals are on animals in the environment, both domestic and wildlife?
That's a very, very good question, and there is some evidence that we are seeing adverse effects, at least in some wildlife. There's some evidence of high levels of the PBDEs, for example, in some marine mammals. Porpoises and dolphins have been reported. Some whales have been reported to have very high levels of these compounds. There is some evidence in birds showing decreased reproductive success when there are high levels, for example, can be detected in a colony in the egg supply. And there's some evidence for effects on fish as far as reproduction and success of fish stocks in certain areas. So we have evidence from the laboratory animals. We have evidence from some evidence from wildlife. And at least for the PBDEs, there is now growing evidence for effects being observed in human populations.
So these chemicals are used in all kinds of products to reduce fire risks, but I'm sure you're familiar with the Chicago Tribune series about fire retardant chemicals that found that they are not actually all that effective at suppressing fire. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I actually was a co-author in one of the papers that found that, where we found that, in fact, there's no strong evidence that says that in normal use that many of these flame retardants actually significantly slow down the growth of fires. Fire retardant doesn't mean they prevent fires. It means it slows the rate of burn. And in a number of studies that have been done now, there's growing evidence that they really don't have a very significant effect on the rate of burn. However, when you have some of these flame retardants around, they generate a lot more toxic carbon monoxide and soot. There have actually been studies that have shown that if you compare a burn that occurs with and without certain flame retardants, that the levels of carbon monoxide and black carbon soot are much higher in the presence of the flame retardants than in their absence. And that's what really can have an acute and immediate effect on people's health.
So, Linda Birnbaum, how worried should I be about these flame retardants? What level of concern should I have for myself, for my children, for my community?
I think the question that we should be asking about some of these flame retardants is, do we really need them in nursing pillows and baby strollers and baby car seats? I think that's a very important question to ask, whether they really are providing a fire safety benefit in all situations. I might say that high concentrations of these, if you're on an airplane where a fire could be disastrous, might be a different situation than having them at high concentrations in products that surround us in our homes and offices.
Linda Birnbaum is director of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, which is part of NIH. Thank you so much for taking this time with me today.
And thank you for having me.
Living on Earth Now is produced by the World Media Foundation for Public Radio International. Be in touch at loe.org.